Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you prefer email, then that's just fine. I've got an email I'll read from last week we didn't get to, a little bit later today, and hopefully one from you. We'll see. But if you'd like to, give us a call. We had, what, three calls at the end of the show last week, so we couldn't get to them. So those of you who had questions, give us a ring back. You know, before we jump on the phones here, I did want to say this. It's interesting. In the second hour, I'm going to talk about this. But why we really have to own stocks, even in a difficult time like this. Difficult why? Because you're terrified. What's going to happen in the election? What's going to happen to your country? Politics is very emotional. And we don't know what's going to happen, but we're sure it's bad, or at least we're concerned it's bad. But I don't know where you go to find any return. Any return. And I know what people say, it's okay. I don't need a return on my money. I just want to get my money. For what? To what end, right? To what end? If you're not earning anything on it, if you're not keeping up with inflation, you're throwing a little bit away all the time. You're not keeping it. It's devaluing as it sits in your pocket. Waiting for what? Some event, some feeling, something to say, well, okay, I'll go own Apple. Now's the time. With no plan, it doesn't work. You don't have a plan. You never attack anything of substance without a plan. Nothing in life. Like, where are we going? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to go down that road. For how long? Don't know. You know, we have a plan for everything. After I go to Costco, then I'm going to go to get gasoline, and then I'm going to there, and it should be done by 1 o'clock. Because then I can go ahead and hit my tea time at 2. I mean, everything's planned. Isn't it interesting how we stray from our long-term plan in investing? Because we got that market timing thing down. We got it. And we have a million excuses why. I mean, I can hear it. Don't you hear it? I can hear all the, yeah, but Dave, but, let me tell you why I'm not going to. Not this time. I'll get off my plan, but I'm coming back. It's interesting. So we got to think about that. And I'm going to talk a bit about that in the second hour. Okay. We got no choices. We got no choices. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But right now, let's go ahead and go to the phones. Let's go to the phones with Jim. Jim, are you there?
Morning, Dave. I'm here.
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Jim?
First off, I wanted to thank Kevin Miller for a couple of weeks ago when he gave me billing on your show. I'm pretty sure pretty soon when he advertises your show on Saturday, he'll say, tune in to hear Jim featuring Dave Petso. I guess I'm hunky-dory. I'm still in good health. I'm still invested. And I like Trump's attitude myself. You know, now, if we were a healthy society, right, we would be able to fight off the virus, any virus. But I quote David Farragut, from the Union Army during the Civil War, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And that's pretty much what Trump's attitude is, damn the virus, full speed ahead. And so anyway, that, you know, whatever. And the thing is, if it were up to me, there would not be any early voting. Now, the thing is, when we had like three networks way back, right, and maybe some radio, everybody in the country got the same information about the president, you know, and everybody had the same info, and they could make a decision on the same info. Now you've got info coming in from everywhere, and everybody's divided, and now you've got early voting. The whole thing was that if there is an October surprise or whatever, at least everybody can make that decision on one particular date. And now that we're so screwed up, I mean, you know, I mean, nobody's going to trust the election. So,
right, right. Well, that's the media appears to want to do that. It sells commercials, I guess. It sells eyeballs to watch and more and have people watching and worrying. And so they do. I know it's very dishonest. It's very frustrating. Because I believe we'd make much, much wiser decisions if it wasn't always tarred with, we've got to get rid of the orange guy in the White House, no matter what. We'd make a lot better decisions. We'd have actual dialogue about what we ought to be doing with schools. Not one school district's open, one's not, one's virtual, one's not, one's got teachers that are going to strike. It just doesn't make any sense. The virus doesn't affect children, and we can't even have that discussion. That somehow is politically based discussion. You know, I look at the COVID data, as you well know, all of the time. We are really learning a lot about it, particularly how to treat it, and people just aren't dying. Deaths aren't going up, and yes, the virus is out of control everywhere, but people aren't dying of it, and I don't think that's, certainly young people aren't. What is it, 99.9% of the people? It's much more dangerous for influenza, and this is not influenza, but
you know, the thing is, people need to pay attention to themselves. You know, how are they doing? Not necessarily how everybody else in the world is doing. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, stay invested and stay optimistic.
You got it. You got it. Thanks, Jim.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'll tell you what we'll go ahead and do. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll have an email or hopefully a phone call from you. 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. All right, 580-5436 is our number. 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net, if you prefer email. Speaking of which, Tom writes, good morning. Dave, I would like to hear your response to Democrat claims that the Obama administration's handing a booming economy off to President Trump. I hear this frequently, and I haven't heard it addressed or heard an informed, incredible counter response. Thank you. Always enjoy your program. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, Tom, the importance of this is not the political side of this. The importance is to understand as we go into this election where we are as a nation, what the economy has been enjoying prior to COVID, and what it's going to once again enjoy or not enjoy once COVID is done, which it will go away at some point. The Obama administration handed off the slowest recovery in all of history. Everything they did was anti-business. I mean everything. It's not like they got up in the morning and said, what can we do to destroy the economy? That's not my point. My point is raising taxes, vastly increasing regulation, slows down the economy. Obamacare was a disaster for business. Healthcare costs have spiraled out of control. None of these things are good for the economy. None of it at all. So the idea that they handed off a booming economy is not true. It was a very slow growing economy. It was growing very slowly, the slowest recovery in history. Now, we went so far down in 2008 until the middle of 2009 that every time in history would indicate we had a coiled spring ready to explode higher. So I'm not sure what policies people want to point to. You know, people will just say things like that. Okay, let's just go with it, okay? Here's what we're saying. If the economy was really, really good under Obama, would you tell me what policies of his were so good? So, I mean, you know, what policies did they embrace that were positive for the economy? And the answer is they can't answer it. There is no policy. It's just this broad statement that people make, which is just broad babble. Let me speak about things I know nothing about. What policy? What policies are good? And the answer is they don't have an answer. So yeah, I would reverse the question and say, oh, that's interesting. What policies specifically did Obama have that were great for the economy? No answer. Because none of them are. Now, why that's important is because one party wants to go back that way and even further left, more central control, less decision-making for you and local, et cetera. I'm not sure what policy in that is good for the economy. So we are again stuck with the broad definition, which is there is no definition. We want to go back to Obama's economic policy, which is what? High taxes, more regulation? No, you know, just the general, there is no answer. None. When we talk about unleashing the economy, individuals, with the opportunity to grow businesses, that's how we wound up with the lowest unemployment rate for minorities and women in all of history. Not because of Obama's economic boom, it's in spite of Obama's economic choices. Raising taxes, increasing regulation. The economy muddled through. And when it was unleashed, it boomed. It boomed in spite of all the things you want to talk about over the last 3 years. Impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. No cooperation. Still got quite a bit done. Tax reduction. And, of course, the administration is by far and away the ones responsible for regulations. Huge. Huge boost to the economy. So I'm not sure how else to do it, but to say, what policies are you referring to? Why do you think Obama gets the credit for what? For all the up? How about he doesn't get it? You know, if Trump caused the virus, how about Obama causing the virus? You know, we can't make choices of what we want to believe or not believe. Facts are stubborn things. But the reality is that this has been a tremendous boom to the economy prior to COVID, and I believe it's going to be the same afterwards if we don't change presidents. If we don't change horses, we can. We could. It's quite possible. Anyway, Tom, thank you so much for your email, and hopefully that's a little bit of information for you. If not, shoot me another one. We'll see what we can do, okay? All right, our number is, again, 580-543-6580-KIDO. In the next hour, I want to talk about this because I know you don't want to own stocks, not in this election. I know you're itching to go to cash. Just kind of sit it out, sit on the sideline. Or if you piled up cash, you're not going to put it in right now. And I understand that. I don't necessarily think that's all bad. But when we make major choices, we need to make them from a 10,000-foot level, not just diving into the minutia of the day. We got to make smart choices. You know, it's interesting, as we close this out this hour, fascinating to me to think back for the last 100 years, this market has gone up 10% a year in spite of world wars, Soviet Union, minor little old wars, you know, like Vietnam and stuff. Big deals, big problems, market crashes, terrible bear markets, terrible recessions. But for some reason, we think about it as if the moment we're in now can be gamed. I could just dive in and dive back out. It's not. Somehow we feel like we've got it. We've got so much information coming at us, even though we know better. But for 100 years, market's gone up 10% a year. Temporary setbacks are temporary. Somehow we see that as a world, as a world-ending event. All right. Obviously, you hear the music. We're coming up to Fox News. After Fox News, we'll be back for hour number two. We'll talk some more. Thanks again for tuning in. Hello, welcome, and again, thank you for joining us. 580-5436, that's our number, 580-KIDO. That's our phone. If you prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. And of course, these are my opinions only. We're not here to tell you what stock to buy, or sell, and that is ridiculous. We want to think long-term. We don't want to think and be driven by activity. We want to have a goal and a plan and objective. Example, I would like cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life that I or my bride cannot outlive, no matter how long we live. Okay, that's a goal. So I want to ask you this when we take that goal. That's a very common goal, so let's just use that one. Maybe it's I'm saving for college education 15 years from now. Maybe your goal is I've got to save up for retirement in 20 years or 15 or 30. But we've got a goal. But what do we do about the election? I mean, what do we do now? Okay, hold on. Wait. So events supersede our objective. Uh-huh. So what events next? The next election? Do we just step aside for that? What about the pandemic? Right. So stocks are back where they were before the pandemic. We just went through this year, the fastest bear market in history, meaning it's over, down 20%, over. Fastest bear market in history, immediately followed by the fastest bull market in history. Yeah, you got that one timed, huh? If you started the year and said we'd have a pandemic, riots in the streets, we'd have a presidential candidate that's so far left, they want to ban fracking, they want to take your guns away, they want to raise taxes, regulations, and they want to shut down even more than we are now. And really, he doesn't come out of the basement much. That's how upside down weird this world is. And you don't want to invest. And oh, I get that. Who would? Who would? And the answer is, we have to. Now, as we head into this election, I've said this every week for a long time. Nothing wrong with raising a little bit of cash. Nothing. But a little bit only. Only. Because otherwise you're making this big play that you can get out at the right time and you can get back in at the right time. I know you're the market timing guru. Nobody else been able to do it. But this is the beauty of human nature and the curse. We think we're really good at lots of things that we're really bad at. We really do. We think we're something else. We think we're really good about choosing future events. Like I knew that would happen. No, you didn't. You got one right. So it's astounding in your brain. But you don't ever remember all the times you were wrong. I meant to pull out here, there. I knew I should have said it. It goes on and on. People are so dishonest with themselves about how good they are, particularly about the market, which is why all the great investors of all time have all said, you can't time the market. You can't. Oh, that's okay for Warren Buffett. That's okay for Peter Lynch and Michael Pratt. That's okay, but it's not for me. I got it. We don't have any choices. The earnings you have in your savings account are zero. It's actually negative because of inflation. That's a strategy? I'm going to just dump back in when? When we take an all or none position, it's very, very arrogant. So I have no problem with saying I'm set aside 10% cash. That's fine. I've talked about this for weeks. Municipal bonds have a unique value right now. I mean, just unique compared to any other bonds. I don't understand it. I really don't. Why I make more tax-free than I do taxable. And if tax rates go up, that'll be even more valuable. In other words, if Joe Biden wins. I think there's some things you can hide in. But not with all of it. Apple is going to figure out how to make great phones and have great services, even if Joe Biden is the president. We get off track all the time in this thought process, and it really throws us off when we spend any amount of time wondering what the market's going to do about certain things. Are we going to be event-driven or goal-oriented? What is the outcome you desire? Well, I desire a pot of money that produces income all the days of my life that I can't outlive. Okay, then. And how long is that going to be? Well, that's going to be about 25 years from now. I'd like to start drawing income. Then why do you even spend 1 second wondering what the market did today? Hopefully it went down as you're accumulating more. But that's not how we feel. And when we spend all of this time thinking about events, we get drawn further and further from our goals. We unintentionally, I don't know if it's unintentional. I'm not sure quite how it is. But I don't think people set out to go, I really want to get all fussed up about this. I want to worry about something that has no relevance at all to me right now. I just want to grind on it, if possible. I mean, nobody thinks that's what I want to do. But when we pop up the news and listen to why the market did what it did today, it's stimulus talks. They're on again. They're off again. It's up. It's down. Here we go. No, it's not. It's like 10 other things. It's because the algorithm saw something positive on COVID or who knows what. That's how stupid the financial press is. They think you are anyway. Because they give you harebrained reasons every 5 points why the market's doing something, which is just not true. It's not why he does that. Otherwise, everything would be perfectly priced every day, and it's not. There's bargains. There's things that are way too dear, and prices finally adjust. Are you goal-based or are you event-driven? And the truth is, we all want to think we're goal-based because that sounds like I'd be smarter, right? I'd have an idea of where I was going, what I'm doing. I'd actually have peace in my life because my finances would be aligned with what my goals are. I'm going to flip this over for a second and not just talk about the psychotic behavior of the average investor. How about those folks that have no goals financially? They don't walk around going, you know, I don't give a damn if my kids get an education or not. Don't care. They would never say that. But the question is how much money is being put into a college education plan if that's a goal? Someday I'd like to buy a house. Okay? That's a great dream. And maybe a magic little fairy will come and put some dust on it and make it happen. But if you don't have a plan, then what you're really saying is, this sounds really good when I'm hanging out with my bros and my family, but I really don't care. I don't want to own a house. Who cares? You got stuff you got to do then. People don't say those things out loud. I like being in debt. I like having to pay the man because I want this bright, shiny thing. I never want to have financial independence. I never want to start my own business. Nobody says those things out loud. It's just the same. Nobody says, I want to try to time the market and be that way. Nobody says, I want to try to buy high and sell low and repeat that behavior and really screw things up and have a whole lot of tension about my finances. Nobody says it. But we do it. We do it all the time. When we're goal-focused and we're thinking about where we're trying to drive this bus, and you think about the great corporations of the world, like Procter & Gamble, 1970, paid 1 penny per share per quarter. It now pays 70 cents per share per quarter. And it had lots and lots of bear markets and crashes and lots of wars and bad things and bad politicians and all of those things, hyperinflation. And they keep making more diapers and Tide and sending their investors more money every year. 70-fold increase in income. Nothing's done that. Nothing has done that. Nothing's come close to that. But if we just spend our time thinking about volatility as the defining thing of risk, then owning the great corporations of the world can be scary when it's a slam dunk to wealth. And I know there's so many people out there that want to scare you into buying gold bricks or equity indexed annuities. Scare you. But owning the great corporations is just too easy. It's just too easy. And when we see it wrong, and we see volatility as anything but temporary, it frightens us into making really bad decisions and never really putting pencil to paper. We don't really want to know how bad our decisions are. then we'd have to own them. It's all right, but we got to learn from it. You know, when we talk to people, and what did we try to understand in recent times, what have you done? So what did you do in 2008 and 2009? Oh, you sold. Okay, all right. But that's not a put down. That's understanding and having a discussion now about, we don't want to do that again, huh? Yeah, that's right. We want to learn from that and not do that. So why are we worried now? Of course, take your 10% out if you need it. If you don't, quit worrying about it. If you're talking about a retirement that's far, far off, keep owning those great corporations. Hope they go down as you keep adding to it. That's how you win. That's how we win. Can you imagine when we take a step back, if somebody told you they had an investment that required you to do nothing, nothing at all, that was virtually free, in many cases actually is, free to own. Your requirements are, they don't even want to see you. And you'll get 10% a year for the rest of your life. It would sound too good to be true, but that's the great corporations world. That's the U.S. stock market. You don't even have cost anymore to buy shares of the great corporations. And yet we make it into an entire industry of, I think, deceit. It's scary. Don't want to play in the casino. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And it frightens people. We're already frightened. We're already pretty bad at this. We're very bad at it. This is just not easy for us. The easiest, hardest game in the world. Easiest to get rich, hardest to sit on your hands. Nothing whatever wrong with a tiny bit of cash in case there's a price break. Or you need money over the next couple of years. But you see, that's not different from yesterday at all. Nobody saw COVID, but you better have had some money through that to eat off of, or you were selling down a lot. We always have to have cash if you need it coming. Don't be driven by events. Follow your goals. You'll have great, much more peace. And frankly, you're going to do a whole lot better. A whole lot better. We're no good at this. And the sooner you accept that you're not a good market timer, that's the kind of humility that you will do very, very well with in the markets. Very well. All right, we got to take a quick break. And I believe, Robert, you're up to bat. I needed to get that out, obviously. And so I hope you'll hold through the break as well. Our number is 580-5436. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to Robert. Robert, thank you so much for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. I thought I'd call you one more time. That's I've usually said I'm not on the subject. The subject I have is power generation. And you talked quite extensively at the beginning of your show about it and what would happen if they get hit by an electromagnetic pulse. I've gone into this. I've worked in science for years now, and I've got holding 5 patents. This is my 5th one. It's called a resonant frequency power generator. I built this
yes,
to... I beg your pardon?
No, yeah, go ahead. Do you have a question for me, though, Robert? I know you've told us about your patents before, and I just want to know if you have a question today, sir.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm trying to find people interested in it, to building it, to protect us against the electromagnetic pulse.
Okay. And your question is? Robert? All right. Well, Robert, thank you for your call. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right. Well, anyway, I'm sorry about that, Robert, but okay. Now, and if you have any questions, please give me a call. All right, let's get back to this. This is so important to me. I don't want to just beat this to death, but I'm going to. We have to see volatility correctly, and we don't. Now, it's not natural. It's not a put down. It's not natural to say, oh, the market went down, so what? But we have to come to understand that volatility is temporary. Now, if something is going to, and I'll go with history, I don't know what else to use. We can make it up and say, okay, all of history says this, but I think it's going to be different. You can say that. That's fine. But I'm going to go ahead and use it, okay? So all of history since the S&P, which is 1926, kind of a fair time, pre-Depression, pre-World Wars, okay? The market's gone up 10% a year. That's the most amazing creative destruction on the planet. Because very few of those companies are even in business anymore. I mean a tiny handful, like maybe General Electric, which is barely in business, right? Crazy. But it always is evolving. And since that time, the market has gone up 10% a year. So if we just borrow that, and if you want to say it's not going to be as good or whatever, fine, bet, that's cool, whatever, 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 okay? Make up your own history. But if, through this creative destruction, there will be more Googles and Apples, General Electrics of the future to propel the market to continue to grow 10% a year. Now, 10% sounds like a nice even number. It's a very big number, as a matter of fact. When you start compounding at 10%, it's a big number. It's a lot of money. This doesn't matter if in one of the years it goes down 20%. It doesn't matter. But oh my gosh, do we take it to matter. And then when we get smart and start plugging into all of the financial world's data, woo-hoo, we're feeling pretty smart now, popping up to CNBC in the morning, getting to know what the 10-year, 2-year relation is, getting to know that, seeing some really good option trading over here, got to know when the Fed meeting is, what they're going to do. We think about stupid stuff all the time. I mean, crazy dumb stuff, right? Is put off as an important data point. Why? Because they're trying to sell your eyeballs. And if you don't care, then you don't tune in. And it is such a driver of what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. How's my portfolio? Am I going to be all right? Am I going to be safe? Instead of, is it profitable to own the great corporations of the world that raise their dividends every year? How's that going to work for me in my plan? To have cost of living adjusted income all the days of my life that I can't outlive no matter how long I live. That's the only important thing. And we lose sight of it. man, it's hard. It is really hard to turn that TV off, to not care day to day what the price is of the great corporations of the world. Because you see, their value doesn't change that much. Not at all. Do you really think that when you see a stock go down 5%, that the corporation's value that day changed that much? Did they stop selling whatever it is they're selling? No. No. It's a price movement, not a value movement. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Plenty of time to take your calls today if you would like. Also, if you'd prefer email, it's dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to the emails, okay, because we've got one here. It's a good one. Dave, can I am 69 years old and don't plan to withdraw from my IRAs until required when I'm 72. Can I still donate this year to a charity from my SEP IRA account? The answer is you can donate out of the account. What people have done, or where the confusion is that you, when you're at age 72 and you have to start withdrawing your IRA accounts, your required minimum distribution can be made, and you up to $100,000 can be made directly to a charity. Okay, and I said that wrong. You cannot take money out of an IRA unless it's taxable to you. So you can't direct that to a charity until you're age 72, and then instead of taking the money out, if you prefer, you can direct that to a charity and meet your required minimum distribution. Okay. So, and you're quite right, that has changed to age 72 now for those of you who are thinking age 70 and a half. So we've got a little bit of a reprieve on that part, but when people inherit it now, they can't stretch it out for more than 10 years. So big difference there. All right. Hey, Leroy, thank you very much. And I appreciate that. Thanks. I appreciate you for listening to the show as well. Thank you. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. You know, one of the things that we have talked about so much in relation to is the market too high, market too low, is the constant idea that this is, of course, nothing but daily babble. And I get it. I got to play the game too. So, you know, on Monday, I'm going to talk to Kevin about what's going on in the markets a little bit, if he has a question about it. I'm going to talk on Channel 7 about it and what's happened, because that's what we do. But for you, you don't need to care. And that's really the point. The more you care, the worse you do. It's not helpful. It's not helpful at all. You know, we see that from time to time, people that are just filled with anxiety, right? And they are. They're fearful of everything. We see it all the time. And we feel bad. Hope they get medications and don't have a heart attack, right? I'm not making fun. I'm serious. But getting fussed up about your investments seems to be something that people try to do. And of course they do, if they're trying to sell you garbage. How else are they going to get you to do something and tie up your money and pay high commissions if they don't scare you? When we think about this in a longer term basis, and it's hard to do, I got the gene. I'm so glad I got it. And of course, Warren Buffett talks about it all the time. The instant gratification is what most people have. Delayed gratification gene is what you need. Buy something today, put it away. Over the years, you'll get rich. It really totally just works that way. That's what it does. every day, put something away, $5 a day for 40 years is over $1 million. A cup of coffee a day. We got to stop trying to trade stocks like it's some kind of a casino game. It's not. It's not. That's a bad road to start down. Bad road to start down. Buying great companies and putting them away, that's how you get rich. It really is. It's quite something. It's quite something. So we don't want to run from thing to thing. We have to understand that there is a daily news flow. But where are you going to put money now? No, the market's too high, Dave. It's just too high. Based on what? Well, it's too high. The P.E. ratios are too high. Okay. For which companies? I don't know. I heard it on TV. Leave me alone. I heard P.E. ratios are too high. Market's due for a drop. I've heard that for thousands of points. I've heard that every year since I've been in the business. Every year. And when I started, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 800 on its way down to 700. Great times. Interest rates, 21.5%. Yeah, but you don't understand. Now it's too high. I know. I got you. I got you. 28,000 from 800 to 28,000 kind of worked. But it's too high every year. It's too high. It's too high when we try to time things. But here's the thing. At the beginning of this year, we had this little thing called the coronavirus. And people who missed out on Amazon or Google or Microsoft or what have you didn't miss. Because what happened is the stocks went from like on Microsoft from 240 down to 130, 140. So I'm sure everybody loaded up at that point, right? They bought at that point. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. We can think about it. We don't pull the trigger because it looks really bad out there and it's frightening and scary, and we don't pull the trigger. But if you just own the great companies, you own them. You own them. You don't worry about bumps. We have to keep working on this mantra, right? Volatility is temporary. Volatility is temporary. On the way to 10% per year growth of your investments. Very, very easy to say, extremely hard to do. It doesn't even require faith. It only requires reading history of your whole life and before. You don't have to be a financial genius to know that, right? All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Wayne first. Wayne, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Very good. Thank you. I appreciate your counsel this morning very much. I want to know
you,
if I understood you correctly just a few minutes ago when you talked about minimum required withdrawal from IRA accounts. Did you indicate that contributions to a contributions from the IRA account can count toward your minimal required distribution?
Yes, sir. They can. Mm-hmm. Up to $100,000.
Up to $100,000.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So many people that are, if you're not living off of them, you can give them away, and that would be, you know, which is totally allowed under the tax code. Give it to your charity. We highly recommend it anyway for people who have a regular charity, for example, their church, where they're giving on a regular basis, a regular amount maybe do it once a year and then pull it right out of your IRA. If you every year want to give to Boy Scouts or whatever it is, then you can set it up on a regular basis and use that as a funding mechanism for it. Okay, Wayne, thank you. Thanks for your question. All right, and let's go to, I believe, is it Elmo? Is that who's up to bat next?
Yes, hello.
Hello there. Thanks for calling, Elmo.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I have a question. I hear on the radio, and I don't even know what station it is, about safe money and how your money can grow, but it will grow with the stock market going up, but you'll never lose money. And I think you've talked about this before, but I can't remember. Could you kind of explain what that's all about and why that's
I'll try to be as nice as I possibly can, but it's pretty much criminal what they say and get away with. Nobody in the industry is allowed to say that because as a fiduciary, which as a registered investment advisor, I am, we are. We're required to have full disclosure, okay? That means you have to disclose that there's 10% commissions. You have to disclose things like you do not get market participation. You get capped at 2%. So if the market goes up 20, you get 2.
Oh, wow.
That's not going to work. So what you have is a product that has super high commissions, so therefore you can't get out of it for 10 years. And, I mean, let's say in the fifth year you go, wow, this thing just doesn't work. This is crazy. I want to reinvest somewhere else. You'll have a penalty that undoubtedly will wipe out anything you had. And if you get it out in the first 2 or 3 or 4 years, you will lose money on this investment. It's not an investment. The only way they do it is they drop all of their licenses. You can't be a certified financial planner. You'll never see one of them offer this product. Because you have to also, guess what? You got to tell the truth. If you have a securities license, you have to tell the truth. If you have an insurance license, apparently you don't. And that's what they hide behind, is the insurance license does not require as much disclosure. The state, in fairness, is working on that. But right now, that's the deal. So the answer is the caps are in place. That's the bottom line, is that when the market goes up, you participate up to this cap. But with interest rates as low as they are, with the commissions as high as they are, look, I can offer this product. We can do that. We just can't collect the commission. So even when you suck the commissions out of it, it's such a piece of garbage that nobody I know in the industry will ever use this product. It's complete garbage is what it is. There are things out there that you can guarantee that are called structured notes. They're issued by all the major banks. If you want some kind of guarantees underneath you, you can do that. But guess what? You're not stuck in those products at all. They're marketable. Now, they're not free. I don't recommend them very often. But once, but if somebody says, I need to have a guarantee that if I go down 50%, right? Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I want somebody to cover that. I don't need to make money, but I want that covered. Okay. There is that product. You can even get it with FDIC insurance if you want. You can't get that with an insurance product. But my point is, and not to sell you on that idea, I'm just saying if you really are not getting that volatility is temporary and it scares you, it's okay. There are products out there to do that. But they're real, and they don't have high commissions. Now, some do. You just have to be careful where you're getting it. But don't do these equity indexed annuities. And, you know, your grandmother who never made it through the ninth grade, she knew there was no such thing as a free lunch. She knew it was too good to be true. It is. You don't get market participation without risk.
Right.
But the risk is temporary. That's what it's always been historically. So, Bob, I don't know if that – I'm sorry, no, Elmo. I don't know if that answers your question as briefly as I could.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm not really interested in that. I just hear about it, and it's interesting when you listen to the talk, they never mention any details about anything, and I thought that's kind of strange, you know. Yeah.
It is kind of strange. It is very it's very sad because it contributes to the theft from seniors. It contributes to their not understanding things. It contributes to fear, And it just is one of those things that is just bad information. It shouldn't be out there. It shouldn't be allowed. It's already been banned in every industry except insurance. Every one of them got rid of it. Can't do it anymore. Why? Because you can't lie. That's why.
Yeah, only in politics. All right.
And apparently insurance.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank
you very much. Thanks. Thank you. All right, let's go. I think we've got Bob on hold here as well. Bob?
Good morning.
Is Bob there? Oh, hey there,
yeah,
Bob.
Morning.
How are you? Good morning.
Doing great. How about you?
Good.
Okay, my question is, where do you stash the cash that you want to have available to you? Under the mattress is too lumpy. Money markets are 0.01%. Yeah. Only other vehicles I'm aware of are Ginnie Mae funds or high yield income funds. Where can you put your money that you don't have to keep changing every single year because it may go down?
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you what, in a zero interest world, for me, as far as cash goes, I'm typically invested all the time. And the reason why is, frankly, other than having, the need to pay taxes on a quarterly basis, but we have plenty of cash flow, right? So business is good. Cash flow is good. I have no need for a lot of cash. But for when I do, for example, as we're heading up into April to pay Uncle Sam, there's a couple of options out there. They're not good. They're not good at all. But you can get some of these ultra-short exchange-traded funds that cost nothing to buy, and they're earning a whopping 0.5. It's not a lot. But maybe on a lot of money, that's worth putting, getting something. And they're liquid every day, okay? So, and the price change is typically zero daily, right? It just doesn't move around. But those ultra-shorts do pay a little something, okay? Now, you can go out a little more duration. I've talked about on tax-free bonds, but now I'm thinking longer term. In other words, that's for secure money. Right now, I have no problem with that. Somebody wants to do that. And where I'm finding the best bargains there is in the closed-end bond fund space. Big mouthful. And closed-end means you don't redeem from the company. They're traded like stocks on the exchange, but they're mutual funds of tax-free bonds. And they're yielding around 4%. That's pretty good tax-free. Makes me happy. So for that kind of in-between stuff where I'm waiting for a market break, if I want to own some more Microsoft or something like that, right? And right. That is a place that I feel pretty good about getting some tax-free income from. But other than that, I don't know what to tell you. There just isn't much out there. You can find some short duration or ultra-short duration mutual funds. But I think the highest one out there that we found is around 1%. And, that's just not like cash. It's not. The price doesn't change. I think it was 6 weeks before it changed one penny. It doesn't move much. But the reality is that the duration on it is around 9 months or so, meaning it can, if interest rates go up, it can lose a penny or two. Okay?
Okay.
So no, I don't know what else to do with cash.
What about a Ginnie Mae fund? Is that volatile? It's about a 3.2% duration of two years.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with the Ginnie Mae funds either. No, I think they're fine. You just want to make sure that there's not a whole lot of leverage in those Ginnie Maes, because if there is, that can be a real problem. Don't go chasing yield either, right? You got to be careful of some of these like Annalee mortgage and things, pay a high rate, but you watch your net asset value go away too.
Right. So the net asset value.
No, I don't have any problem with Ginnie Mae funds. Go ahead.
Okay. All righty. And the net asset value going up and down, that's just how the banks, whatever they're trading on some of those high yield bond funds?
Yes. No, that's a good question. When you're talking about that, it's also based on, there's a couple risks with bonds, okay? Risk number one is that
you have rising interest rates so that your bonds you hold go down in value if you wanted to liquidate them. Yeah, you hold until they're ready to roll. If you think of it like a single bond, but if you have a mutual fund, it's kind of like a ladder of bonds, right? It's just ongoing,
right.
And you're buying into that. So if interest rates rise, then new people aren't going to pay you for a bond that's at a lower interest rate when they can get a higher rate on a new bond, right? So bond prices right. move inversely to interest rates. Interest rates up, bond prices down, okay? Now, the other part is the chance of default, okay? The reality behind bonds is that they've never worked because inflation is so bad, right? Over time.
Right.
We're not even earning the inflation right now. On a 10-year treasury, which is crazy, let alone after taxes. Now, when we take a look at the other reason that you have to be somewhat careful out there is obviously credit risk. If you lend money to Albertsons and they decide to go bankrupt, you got a problem. You got a problem. So that's the other part you have to be careful of is defaults. Okay, so there are some risks out there. Just know what you're getting into, and that's why Ginnie Mae's are very popular because, well, they're U.S. government paper. No chance of default.
Money Matters is live every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, certified financial planner, Dave Petso. If you have questions, please contact Dave through the Petso Financial website. Replays of this program are also available under the media tab.
Kevin Miller Mornings, Sean Hannity Afternoons, KIDO Talk Radio, 107.5 FM, 580 AM, KIDO Nampa, Fox News Now.